You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We're back. Final hour. The big news earlier, Pete Golding leaving to go to Ole Miss. So the debate now is who will take his place. Jeremy Pruitt's name has been mentioned. We need some clarity on whether that could happen or not because of the mess he left behind at Tennessee. But certainly, if you looked at the field of candidates, that would be the one that Nick Saban would be most comfortable with. Shulman at Georgia worked under Saban as a graduate assistant. He's a Bama grad, and there are other names out there as well. Let's talk to Elf on the Shelf in Georgia.
Paul, thank you for taking my phone call. I haven't called you since before the Heisman voting.
Yes.
And that was disappointing. But I chose today to call back, since it's Friday the 13th. And I have an answer for why the Georgia fans are discussing Bama fans. It's normal at a funeral to discuss the deceased. You don't talk about anybody else. You talk about the person you're burying. The dynasty window isn't closing. It's slammed shut. And I have some NFL quotes that I think would do well for the Bama fans to listen to. The first one is from Herm Edwards. When it comes to football, you play to win the game. The second one comes from Bill Parcells. You are what your record says you are. And the third one came from Jim Mora. Playoffs? Playoffs? You want to talk about playoffs? Bam. It's over. It's done. You got no quarterback. You got no coordinators. And you're done. Now, they're talking about who their quarterback's going to be. I'm going to stick a dagger in the Bama fans. Carson Beck, the guy you watched in the fourth quarter, is a backup. He is not next year's quarterback. Next year's quarterback wore a red shirt. He's 6'1", he's 220. He was the number one dual-threat quarterback in 2022. It's a name they need to get to know. His name is Gunnar Stockton, and he ain't a walk-on. He's a five-star. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, Alabama. Thank you, Paul.
I will say if Gunnar Stockton ends up being the starter, he's got one of the better names for a passing quarterback I've ever heard. Let's check in with Bama in Alabama. Hello, Bama.
Hello, Mr. Paul.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for asking.
Well, my reason for calling today, sir, is because all the negativity about Alabama. By the way, I am an Alabama fan.
Sure.
And with Georgia winning this year, the national championship, and winning last year, I think it's good because they have not done this in a while, as far as I know. But I would like your expertise. I'm a second-time caller, and the first time I called, I wanted to ask your opinion about something. So if Bama has won, let's say, 13 championships, seven SEC championships, and six national championships since 2009, would that not constitute them as being a dynasty?
Betty, it's been one of the, I think it's possibly the greatest dynasty in college football history. So, yes, that would constitute a dynasty when you've done all the things that you said and all the things that Nick Saban has accomplished there.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to hold you any longer, but I was just wondering, and for all of the people who are not Bama fans, I hope they're not upset because I don't like a lot of fussing and arguing, but I just wanted to know, and Mr. Paul, thank you so very much for taking my call.
Betty, you be well. You have a great weekend. Thank you. Mac is up next in Colorado. Hello, Mac.
Hey, Paul. Nice to hear from you, sir. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Roll Tide. I'm from Colorado. I've been a Bama fan for as long as I can remember. Two things. Colorado, Denver Broncos do not want Harbaugh here as a coach, period.
Mac, I'm not sure anyone outside of Michigan does.
Agreed. So we're talking about NCAA football minutia. Is Alabama, is Georgia the best of the best of the best? I think the SEC is the best of the best of the best. And then it's the rest of the world saying, can we play? I just don't think that there's any other way to go about it. Alabama wins or loses one or two plays, not even games, plays, and they're in the national championship. Ohio State makes the kick, and we're not even talking about Georgia, right? I mean, one or two or three or four or five plays for the whole year, and everything changes.
No, I mean, the great coaches always talk about the preparation. They say, you know, you prepare all this time to be in a game that is determined by a handful of plays, whether it's a fumble, whether
game
it's
events.
A miss. Yeah, and that's what it's about. And that's why, you know,
yes,
to
sir.
Me, if you're talking about Nick Saban, I think we, or any great person, I've always thought, I used to follow golf very closely. Jack Nicklaus won 20 majors, but he came in second 19 times and third 23 times. I mean, that to me defines who you are. Nick Saban, I mean, every fan that follows college football can recite that he's won six titles, and then the times that he didn't win, how close he came to winning, because that's the program that has been the defining program of this millennium.
I love the SEC. I love what you're doing on your show. I love listening to you and talking to you. Roll Tide. Have a good weekend, Paul.
Thank you. But I think that I don't think anyone out there, back to Betty in Alabama or Mac, no one is disputing what Nick Saban has accomplished. No one. That's not part of this conversation. The question is where is it today and where is it going? And Georgia makes it complicated because of winning two straight. And now Georgia fans are getting into Alabama mode by saying, yeah, but we could have won that one in 2017. Listen, Georgia fans, you had a double-digit lead in that game. It didn't come down to that one play. You blew the lead. Saban changed quarterbacks. He managed to win the game in one of the most unforgettable moments in time. But that game was yours, but you had to finish it. Let's continue here with more phone calls. Donald is up next in Georgia. Hello, Donald.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
This is your Florida State buddy.
You
but
bet.
I wanted to talk about two things right quick. I'm going to talk about Amy. Amy, if you have ever been around any kind of, like, sport, like, you know, I would say every sport I've ever been around, coached, whatever I've ever done, I mean, there's always been some type of cuss, or maybe not the F-bomb, you know, literally to kids or women, but that's just how it is in the locker rooms. I mean, you know, you can either take it or leave it. But the next one is to Mitch. Mitch, you don't need to worry about who's coaching your team because Florida State's going to run slap through everybody in the ACC this year. So you don't need to worry about who's coming to Clemson because it ain't going to matter. And I'm going to tell you this. You can put it down in your book right now, Paul.
Okay.
We will play Georgia in the national championship this year. And I know you said that your surprise team was what, Wisconsin?
Well, no. Donald, that question about Wisconsin was a team outside the top 25, not my surprise team.
Okay, I got you.
I agree 100% with you right now. To me, Florida State is going to win the ACC, and I think they're going to be a playoff team. They start the season against LSU, and that's going to be the game that we talk about in the offseason.
Yep. Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You know, I was going to say, on my podcast, I had a guy from LSU call in, and he said, you know, I don't know why you're trying to hype up Florida State because y'all really didn't beat anybody. I said, ho, ho, ho. we beat y'all. So
yeah. Hey, by the way, John, I was doing an interview in Florida today, and I mentioned we were talking about the South and Southern football, and I mentioned I think Florida State is that team that you have to be concerned about. And the host of it was in Gainesville. He said, "Yeah, we really, that's what we're afraid of." I mean, Florida fans know what's happening in Tallahassee, and that's really tragedy is a big word, but I'll use it. That's really the tragedy of Florida football over these last couple of years. That with Florida State going every which way but forward, they have blown this moment in time.
Yes, they have. You're exactly right. And one thing that I did do today is I contacted our head person in recruiting, because I don't, you know, like, we do recruit Florida. We recruit Florida really hard, but there's a lot of talent in Georgia, and I hit them up today, and I believe it or not, you know, I know I talk a lot of crap a lot of times, but sure. I mean, I do have a lot of contact with a lot of our players, like Cam Davis. He's in Albany, Georgia. I talk to him all the time. He's a 5-star prospect. I mean, he's a great kid, and he'll tell you if he got on your show that I'm the reason why he still is even interested in Florida State. I mean, he's just. Because I talk to him, and I make sure, you know, he's good. You know, I go watch him play other sports, and, you know, I just make them all feel good. And then while I was at the Cheez-It Bowl, I had two parents come up to me. They thought I was actually a real recruiter for Florida State. I said, no, I'm not a recruiter. I said, that's just I've been going since, you know, early 90s, and I've never missed a game. I mean, I go to every game, home and away. And, you know, and now it's time, you know, Coach Norvell has done – awesome things in Tallahassee. All the kids love him. And, you know, I think that's a praise from what was going on, you know, the last few years before him. So, you know, I'm going to get off here. But, Mitch, don't worry about the coaches at LSU. You better worry about Florida State coming into your house this year beating you by 30.
Okay, there's Donald, the unofficial recruiting coordinator at FSU. We'll take a break. Still have time for you to get in. 855-242-7285. More reaction to the Golden announcement. Not announcement, but departure from Alabama. More of your phone calls. What a week this has been.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we're back here on a Friday night. Bob is up next in Georgia. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Mr. Fine, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Mr. Paul, I've loved your show for many years, many, many years.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on Miss Amy's call. I know where she comes from. I'm 74 years old, and I was raised up in a home that didn't allow that kind of talk. But obviously, she's never had many boys play in sports. And one other little thing is to your main caller, Legend. I'd like to leave him with two little words. I've seen many, many college football dynasties in my life, but for Mr. Legend, it's just a name, Healy Ringo. Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Healy Ringo is not someone who is going to be welcomed in Legend's home anytime soon. Cuz is up next in Georgia. Hey, Cuz.
Hey, Paul. Happy Friday the 13th.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you know, Friday the 13th, so I'm hiding up under my bed, but I thought I'd give you a call and talk about dynasties, you know, not the one that used to be on TV, but, of course, like, let's say Alabama and maybe and Georgia. I mean, a dynasty in the traditional sense is a, you know, it's not one person. It's a group of individuals going from literally a family. And so Alabama's a family and Georgia's a family. You know, and Alabama, of course, I know they're a big dynasty. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, we've got our own also, and started from, let's say, modern football, the way we think of it, played, you know, Bear Bryant, Vince Dooley. And, you know, you can have both. I mean, I don't understand why I have to do one.
Well, I appreciate that, Cuz. I mean, I think the word dynasty is one we throw around, and I got in trouble this year. I was on some show, and they said, you know, I think it was Mike Greenberg said, "Is it over for Alabama?" I said, "No, it's not over." I said, "But the window on the dynasty is closing." I just said closing. I didn't say it was shut. And then a lot of people react to that, and I think these are things that you can't make snap judgments on history while it's going on, and we still have this going on right now. And, you know, 10 years from now, you'll be able to look back and go, okay, what happened? How did it work? Today is very difficult. We know what two in a row means, though. Let's check out James in Georgia. Hello, James.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
James, we are doing great.
Hey, this is my third time calling. I watch your show all the time.
Thank you.
I love you, Paul. You're an awesome guy. But I want to address a couple things. I called back in September, and I told you about them Georgia Bulldogs. I told you about them. I told you about Malachi Stark. I told you that them boys was Stetson was coming for it. They robbed Stetson of the Heisman. That was your Heisman Trophy, America. That was your Heisman winner. But don't worry about that. Let's go to his. Everybody's talking about a dynasty. Kirby Smart is on his way and following those footsteps of Nick Saban to the T. Not, I ain't going to say to the T, but he's close. He's close. And I really see Kirby Smart possibly running, being one of the first guys to do a three-peat. He's got the formula. What do you think, Paul?
Well, let me say, we haven't seen a three-peat in modern history. There hasn't been one in football, professional or college, since Vince Lombardi in the 60s. Nick Saban came close. Nebraska came close at times. Miami was on a roll. But that I think it's one of the most difficult things to do. So I know Vegas will say that Kirby Smart will be the favorite. Georgia will be the favorite. But I would be I'd probably be a contrarian. I don't. It's too long. It's too far away to make a prediction yet. But something always goes wrong, though.
Do you think Carson Beck or Gunnar Stockton can do it for Georgia after having Stetson as a remarkable role model, might I say?
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing to have is a choice at quarterback, and I think Georgia has a very good choice. You've got three talented players, and I don't know. I don't even know who else is you know, coming from the back. But that's a lot. You know, and I thought the other night was critical. I mean, for Beck to get experience on a stage like that is invaluable.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, even with the game being out of reach, it's still you want to get your quarterback's experience, because the hardest thing in the world is to go in there with no experience, and all of a sudden that field is a you know, shrinks in your head, and everything's moves a little bit too quickly. Thank you for the call. Steve is in Georgia. Steve, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Steve, we're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to clarify a couple of things there. One of the things that said Georgia won their third national championship ever. They've won four. If you remember Charlie Trippett, that was the first national championship Georgia won in his era. Then Herschel won one, that's two, and then the back-to-back now. They've won four national championships. And then a caller
Hold on. Let me explain that, though, because the – I mean, there's a lot of there are a lot of claims. You can make a claim of a national championship, but the way that – I'm not sure the exact policy, how it's written, but how we recognize it, I think, is an AP national championship prior – to or prior to the playoff era, and obviously now in Georgia in 42, as great as that team was, finished second in the final AP poll.
Oh, when I did the history on it, Paul, I saw where they.
They won a number of national championships that year, but they did not win the AP national championship.
Okay.
And I think that's the rub. I'm not 100% sure how these decisions are made. That team lost one game against Auburn late in the season, and that may have been they were number one. Yeah, here's the deal. They were number one in the country in 1942 and lost to Auburn 27-13. And fell to number five when they were playing Georgia Tech. They ended up moving up and beat UCLA in the Rose Bowl and finished number two in the country, whatever that means. Probably not very much right now. We'll take a short break and get more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're back with more history lessons after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, and Hooper is up next in Georgia. Good evening, Hooper.
What's up, Paul?
Doing well. Thank you.
You're doing wonderful. All I want to say is this. I'm a Bulldog. I've been a Bulldog since 1980, okay? And we pushed them back and forth, and you know, Rick had us there, and he couldn't do it. But I never take nothing away from Rick. But what I want to say to that woman, and it's not disrespect, you know, they're grown-ass men, and they can, and he can talk to them however he wants to. Go Dawgs.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Robert is up next in Alabama. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Okay, Paul, first of all, I would like to wish you guys a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And I want to ask you a question about Nick Saban and Paul Bell. Do you think they have anything in common, or is they recruiting class or whatever?
Yeah, I think Coach Saban and Coach Bryant have a great deal in common. They were both perfectionists. They also you know, while great coaches, they also coached assistants. That was probably one of Coach Bryant's greatest trait, is the motivation that he had for his staff. But yeah, but in terms of recruiting, Nick Saban and Paul Bryant in a house was a killer combination.
Okay. Also, Paul, I want to let you know, my godbrother or whatever, you know, he's one of the first African American quarterbacks there at Alabama, was Walter Lewis.
Oh my goodness, Robert! I saw Walter. I saw Walter a couple of months ago, and actually, Walter, he hit me up a couple of weeks ago about something as well. I know Walter very well.
Okay, well, next thing you probably talk to him, just ask him about a guy named Robert Earl. He'll tell you. They kind of raised me. I was raised by his mother and father. But anyway, Paul, my first time calling, just, you know, thank you guys. And, you know, everybody just need to get along with everybody and have fun on your channel. Thank you, Paul.
Robert, thank you. And Walter Lewis, not only one of the best quarterbacks in Alabama history, but one of the most revered to this day. Thank you very much. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, looking good, sounding good. Thanks for taking my call. You know, Spencer Rattler's coming back to the game, Knox. That's great news. But how do you feel about this new boy that Dabo Swinney is going to hire from TCU?
I mean, I think he's an upgrade, but for everyone who acts like this is going to revolutionize the game, I don't think it's going to. I think he's a good coach, but... you know, if he has the right quarterback, he'll be a good coach. If he has the wrong quarterback, he'll be like everyone else who has bad quarterbacks.
All right, what's your comments on the boy leaving Alabama, going to Ole Miss?
I think it's time. I think he had played out, and I think it was a very smart decision for him to get a life raft as fast as he could.
All right, so Mr. Feinbaum, well, here's one more question I have to ask. After listening to Daryl and Legend and Larry, I have some music I'd like to play for you.
Sure. That was funny, whatever it was. Swami is up next. Hello, Swami.
Well, hey, big guy. Thanks for taking my call, Paul. Paul, you know, you've really been giddy since that Michigan loss. And, you know, and the Swami's kind of been thinking, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I can just see, you know, you arriving at the house over the Feinbaum there, you know, after the semifinal games. And Miss Feinbaum was probably sitting over on the couch, you know, probably reading a book or a puzzle, watching TV when you come in. And, you know, after you probably fixed you an adult beverage, you probably relaxed in your recliner and kind of relaxed back. And she looks over there, and you've got that smirkish grin on your face, and she probably says, "Honey, what's so funny?" "Oh, nothing, dearie, just nothing." You know, maybe 5 minutes later, she looks back over there, and you still got that smirkish grin on your face, and she says, "What's so funny, dear?" Tell me, Paul, is the Swami, is he remotely correct on this assumption?
Well, I think considering I got home that night about 2:30 in the morning, you're actually not. But I appreciate the call anyway. I mean, I know it's late in the week, but I just didn't completely follow that one. Eddie is in Georgia. Hello, Eddie.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to just tell Paul was going to commend him on getting a word in with Stephen A. Smith, which I really like and watch a lot of his shows. And then I was going to ask him, shouldn't Alabama be more concerned about Tennessee and LSU? They're the ones that kept them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, Eddie, I think that's exactly right. And really, it turned out to be LSU. Alabama could have survived the Tennessee loss. It wouldn't have really changed anything other than Tennessee. But had they not lost LSU, Alabama would have played Georgia. And that would have ended this conversation, because if Alabama had lost to Georgia in Atlanta, they were done.
That would have stuck the feather in the hat.
Yeah. And I would like for somebody to tell me how they think Alabama would have beaten Georgia this year.
Yeah, I would have given anything if Alabama and Georgia would have played this year.
It's too bad because we would have had the game and the debate would have been settled, and it's just one of those things. But yep. but the fact they didn't play Alabama, I don't think affects Georgia's season one iota. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Foster is up next. Hey, Foster.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I think it is absolutely stupid that spiking is legal, but intentional grounding is not. Intentional grounding, if it was legal, that would reduce injuries.
That's a good point. I'm not sure I really understand. I mean, there is a difference, but I guess spiking is done. I'll defer to somebody to explain it. But I mean, for those who don't know, spiking is essentially clocking it, where you're just trying to stop the clock. Where intentional grounding, it means you're on the run, you're about to suffer a loss, and then you throw the ball away.
Wouldn't that decrease injuries, though, possibly?
Yeah, I think they are two different things, though. One, this will sound crazy. I mean, spiking is intentional. Intentional grounding is just trying to avoid a sack.
Yes. So that should increase the odds that you wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get an official on here one day when things quiet down, and I'll get the explanation on that. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We'll take a break. A few minutes remaining on a Friday night. End of the week has arrived. We're moving into the middle of January, and we're coming right back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.